Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Father, tonight we celebrate our Savior King. Without Jesus, we will not be standing here tonight. Thank you for Jesus. We gather here in the name of Jesus. It is because of the name of Jesus that all of us from diverse backgrounds can come together in one place. I pray that, Lord, your will be done tonight. And that you arise, you speak to us, you affect our lives, you change our minds, help us to walk in your ways. Thank you for everyone who is here tonight. I give you praise for your presence. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Wow, why don't you shake one or two people? Tell them, get ready. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church tonight. Church is so nice. I don't know why people don't like to come to church steady like they must do. I don't know where else. If you take church away from my life, you better bury me. I prefer to be buried than for church to be taken away from my life. And church is not just what you might probably think of. Church is not just a place where you come. People don't see the relevance in coming to church. But there's more relevance in coming to church than anywhere else. Church that you actually begin to connect with the plans and the purposes of God for your life. So I'm saying that people don't see the relevance in church. And you have to be careful with the people you associate with. Okay, that the people you associate with. For many of you who are not very connected to a certain level, it's because of the people you relate with outside the church and even inside the church. Because there are some people, if you were to get closer to them, you become crazy for church work. True or false? I know church members. I've been doing this business for a long time. Church is very, very comprehensive. Was it O'Neill? Where's O'Neill? O'Neill and I were chatting today. And if it wasn't even some of the questions that I would ask him, nobody would ask him anywhere those questions. True or false? Well, we're not talking this afternoon. And then from those questions, then I discover a problem, which nobody cares to find out. So if you say you think church is just coming for some pastor to preach to you and therefore you can read your Bible, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. And if that was it, then God would not decide that he himself will give a pastor. For God to decide to give us pastors, it cannot be just a superficial something. It got to have some depth in it. Yeah. We have just not discovered, that's why. We have not discovered the importance and the essence of having a pastor. That's why we say the things we say. And that's why we are not connected the way we are not connected. How many understand the English that I'm trying to say? So, one of the things, remember, that I said on the first day that we started doing this book. Oh no, it was Galatians 6 Sunday I preached that message. That the Bible says that the lack of knowledge make my people perish. Do you get it? So, all of us who are here, we lack knowledge. Because what God is trying to help us to do is not to perish. Now, the perishing is in the lack of knowledge. So then, to help us not to perish, he gives us pastors. And if you understand the equation, Pastor Ralph, I don't know whether they understand the algebra I'm trying to present. It's a simple equation. My people are destroyed. Hey, blinky and blinky screen. It's not fun. It's not easy. This is a real blinky screen created by Sister Blinky herself. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God says, my people, God is crying that his people, his church, his children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So he says, you know what? I can't allow my children to be destroyed. I'll fix the problem. So you go to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, and that is where he solves the problem. He says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with that which you don't have and you are being destroyed. Charmaine, are you there? That which you don't have, that is destroying you. God is saying that he will take care of that, not by giving you any spirit. He will give you a human being of his choice, not your choice. His choice. Whose purpose or whose function primarily is to feed you. Today I saw something very interesting in the newspapers. A church is celebrating 21 years in ministry. Prince, why are you smiling? You saw it too. And I was just, I don't know why a church will celebrate their anniversary and it will come in Kaicho News. They have not even celebrated. There is this Sunday that they are going to have a service. And they have a small article about that. And the things that are being spoken about, I don't see anything. I'm sure it's people who go to the newspaper and say, we want to place an article in your newspaper. You've been here for 11 years. We don't tell anybody we are 11 years old. When you see us around, you see that we are around. No, we don't have to announce ourselves in the newspaper. But the things that were said, Prince, I don't know if you looked at it. I didn't see any real thing. I didn't see any real things. I was wondering, I hope it's free. Because if it's not free, then you know people have wasted their money. The relevance of a pastor is that your ignorance must be taken away. So if you come to church and you are still ignorant, it means that you have not received the pastor as you must receive him. I'm preaching a very, very, very good message. Look at how we are doing a marriage conference this weekend. You'll be surprised how even you church members who are not even interested because you are ignorant about marriage. And sometimes even because of what you are doing that you feel bad about, that's why you don't want to hear anything about marriage. You feel guilty already. Yeah. No. I have a group of you who are helping me organize it. I was telling them that I have stumbled in a certain area. You see, it's like you live in a town and then there's an area you've not gone before. And then you one day you go there, you say, hey, I didn't know there was a place like this in this place. How many have experienced that before? That is how the marriage conference is actually telling me that our system and our society has a certain attitude towards marriage. Therefore, people, yeah. It's child, father, child, mother. Yeah, marriage is not, the Bible says marriage is honorable. No, it's not seen in the system as that marriage is honorable. Marriage? I want to talk about marriage. So I'm very excited that I'm going to do the marriage conference. Anyway, I want to do something that is not popular. And I hope you have bought your ticket to come as my church member. If I don't see your face, well, we will discuss that. You better show your face on those nights. So that you don't tell me something that I am trying to take you on. God is helping me to take you on a knowledge path. So if you are here, you have not bought a ticket. Don't let me say something bad about you tonight. No. Do you know what it means if you don't have plans in coming? Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means? You are turning your back on your pastor and the program he's organizing. You should be the first person to buy a ticket.
Yeah. You have rejected the knowledge that God has given to you through your pastor. Somebody asked, what are we going to talk about at the conference? So the people said, they don't know, they can't say it. They said, no, he wants to know so that he'll go and do research. Some crazy person who called. If you go for a conference, of course, it's maybe on the day that they give you a program guide and things like that, but the contents of what, no, we can't give you our speech. Who gives you their speech? It's after the speech is made, then you get a copy, a transcript, a copy of it. Yeah. Someone said, what is the theme of the conference? It's right there on the banner, modern marriage. You can't read well? No, you must come because there's something you don't know. When marriage is concerned. I tell you. Yeah. Don't turn your back on your church programs and on your pastor's calling and ministry. Don't. If you turn your back, you also have people who turn their backs on you. That's what will happen to you. Yeah, you sit down and see. The pastor God has given you, God, I don't know where I get my ideas from. It's definitely from the Lord. To do a marriage conference. When Jerry Govaya, with his idiotic program of what do they call it? Wedding Expo. Go and see the people go to Wedding Expo. They just go there for the fanciness of the thing. The gown, the this, the decoration. That's what people go for. But they don't want the knowledge that will help them stay in a marriage for the rest of their lives. That is why God has given you a pastor. Many people, I will tell you, about 95% of you here have a wrong mind about marriage. I tell you. I cannot even kill it in those Friday night and say, I can't kill it. It's too humongous. I can't kill it. I can just introduce you to, I can just give you an introduction of what marriage is about. I can't kill it because it's too deep seated. It's a demon. Somebody told me that when I marry, then problems will start. So I don't want to start marriage. Yeah. We good like that. He said, Pastor, I deal with Chi. How many years? Everything good. Me won't marry. If I marry Chi, I know problems. Pastor, no, I good. Hey, where is that from? There are people here. If I ask you right now, are you going to get married? You don't even want to hear it. But you probably want to have sex, but don't want to get married. Sex must be in the context of marriage. Even children also. The Bible says children are a blessing in marriage. Not outside marriage. That's why we are society. You see, people tend to say, where is God? Where is God? But we have spoiled the society. We have disobeyed God. We've brought children outside of wedlock. That's why some churches that are very strict, when you are pregnant, they don't want you back in the church. Without the husband, they don't want to do anything with you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. You are even lucky that we pray for your child. There are some people that are radical. When you commit fornication, out of the church. Don't come back to the church. They don't take your offering. You can't come back to the church. You are unclean. Yeah, if you come, you bring demons into the church. You people don't know churches that are around. You don't have an idea. You see, because you have not traveled beyond your country before. The church you know is probably just lighthouse that you have come a few times and then you don't like what we say. If you were to join other churches and hear what they say, you come and sleep here and be in this church. I tell you, you don't know about churches, that's why. And I'm not talking about churches chicken. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Not chicken, please. Yeah, no, it's because you don't know a lot about churches. That's why you will not even understand a lot of things here. So God wants to take away the knowledge, the ignorance about volunteering your time and your resources to the work of God. It's another area. You see, we are trying to do some small war. Okay. And then when I look around, there's a house they are building, Prince. There's a house right at the corner there. I've seen they put in barbed wires. Have you seen it? The house right at the corner. When you tend to go to your palace. Yeah, that's it. Somebody, I hear somebody say that this church is a jail. He passed and he said, this place is a jail. Somebody has barbed wires on their small house. Now, a church, we must do things that when you pass here, it must you say, which place is this? You must ask questions. No, you must have gates with angels, cherubims and seraphims on the gate. And when you see, you say, hey, this has got to be a church. No, the compound, the building must be unique in this area because we're a church. And you wait. Slowly. Slowly. When you get here, nobody will tell you that this is a church. You see that. We can do what? We ain't doing no pia, 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 pia. Even this one cries because of this council. Like, you have to take a lift to go over the gate to come inside. Jerusalem gate. Are you with me? So, there's something called volunteering your services to the kingdom, to the church. It must be common. We must love to do it. It's understanding. That is why we are teaching and dealing with this book for 6 weeks. Because some kind of knowledge must be gleaned during this time and this season about you spending time in the church. I said about you spending time in the church. Now, you must understand that it's just an opportunity God is giving you and I to make ourselves even happy. Because without God, Jiggy, without God, I don't know where you're going to. So we're in chapter 2 on Tuesdays, isn't it? Are we in chapter 2? Do we all have our books? Yolanda, are you there? You have your book? Is it Joy I saw? Okay. You have your book? Miss Lee, you have your book? Wonderful. Gaskin, you brought one of your army guys. You want him to come and arrest us or what? Where Gaskin? Sergeant Major. Ned, are you there? So we are in chapter 2. And I want to stress on a very important point tonight. One point, and then we'll close. We've learned that without the lay ministry. Did I see Odessa? Okay. Okay. What happens when there are no laymen and volunteers? If there are no laymen and volunteers, we have learned that the principle of sacrifice will be taken away from the church. The church cannot exist without the concept of sacrifice. Miss Destiny, you cannot be with Christ and not sacrifice. It means that you have to probably live very far away from the church that God has given you and still travel and spend money and time and go to the church. You can't serve God without sacrifice. If there's no lay ministry, we say faithfulness is taken away, isn't it? How can we know that you're a good person, you're a faithful person, if you cannot combine two challenging and important things? People don't have an idea what these things mean. I'm going to start preaching. Is that Marlon? You have changed. Is it your hair? It got to be the hair. Okay, it's good to see you. I hear you get enough money now. You working for enough money, bye. When you are given something to do, the only thing God looks out for is whether you are reliable. Faithfulness means to be reliable. Faithfulness means to be dependable. Faithfulness means to be trustworthy. So as for us going to work and earning money, everybody will go. Go and work and get money and pay your bills. Who wouldn't go? The person who wouldn't go, something wrong with you. But the person now who will do that and still spend their time on something that will take a lot of energy away from them and not get paid, then you are beginning to see the different types of people who are around. That's where faithfulness comes in. Now, if you don't have people like that, and that is one thing that, again, ignorance also, comes in that area. People do not know that you need somebody who is faithful to even choose. You have to choose somebody to marry somebody who is faithful. It's not the person who is fancy and flashy. It's not the person who has money or is known or is popular. It's not the beauty. It is, faithfulness is when we say dependable. It means that you can lean on this person all the time. Now, what happens if you need this support and then the day that you need the support, this thing is not there? Meanwhile, this thing has been telling you all along, oh, I love you. I want you. I want to be with you. Oh, you are too nice. Then now I need help. Only to find myself on the ground. That is faithfulness. You say you are a member, but you don't come to church every Sunday. It's a sign of how faithful you are. Don't tell me about the problems. Everybody has problems. You see, it is in the problems and the challenges that you still have to prove who you are. Otherwise, you will not see the differences in people. Because when you get married or when you join the church, there are going to be issues and circumstances. And when those issues come and then you fail, then it makes the relationship sour. It spoils the relationship and it breaks something which God does not want to see happen. I'm preaching a nice message tonight. I'm saying that we are trying to drive away. God is, it's not even me. God is trying to drive away ignorance by bringing knowledge to the fact that, oh, I didn't know that I have to be in church all the time. I thought that I can come when I feel like. When I don't have money, then I stay home. When I don't have money, walk and come. God is watching you. Hey, please. You have to know that the God is watching us. He's watching every single one of us. He's watching when you are more excited and when you are not excited. He's watching when you are very, energetic and when God watches all those things. And the Bible says that one day when he comes, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and fancy, fantastic, rich or whatever servant. Faithfulness is the key. If I, as your pastor, cannot be here for you all the time, even though I am not God, I am not faithful. I am not faithful. And I've been here for 11 years, preaching every Sunday, every Tuesday, and Wednesdays, Friday night, this over here, this, that, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. The other day, one of our church members came from Linden. Doesn't know anybody here in Georgetown. Was admitted. You should come and see me calling people, picking people up. 11 a.m., 11 p.m., almost midnight, we went to check the person. Going to buy juice, buy this for the person who has come. Because if it's a churchman who has come, doesn't know anybody here. I can't say it's not my business. I have to be faithful. The person has to feel that she's connected to a church. Even though her church is in Linden, she's come here. They're still a part of the church here. You see me calling people, hey, come, let's go, picking people up. I went to pick one lady with some of my people. Where the brother was trying to see who is picking up my sister at this time of the night in a tinted black vehicle like this. I said, what's your brother coming out to look at? That you get some man who is picking you up at this time of war? Telling you coming back tonight, you coming back tomorrow morning. If we can't do these things, then God sits back in heaven and says, look at those people. I can cannot depend on them for anything. And therefore, the lay ministry is a sign of faithfulness.
Well, number three? Well, I've given you number three already. I'll give you number three.
Hey. No, let's go to number four. I like number four. Do you like number four? I like number four. So I am preaching, so I'll talk about the one I like.
You like it too?
Yeah.
If you do not allow volunteers to work in the ministry, everything done in the church will be related to money. Money. Ladies and gentlemen, if we were to pay people to sing in a choir, this whole place would be full of choruses.
It's because you are not paid. That's why when we say, don't do this, you don't even say anything.
You are right.
If we were to say, don't do something, and then you miss your salary, we would have seen who you really are.
Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Now, I want to zero in on the element of money in the church.
That the church is a place where money has to be put in its proper place. You see,
Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Now, in the Orthodox churches, the old churches, I used to go to the Presbyterian church with my mom and my dad. That's the church I grew up in. Every Sunday, they give you the offering they got the Sunday before. They tell you, oh, last week Sunday, first offering was 20,000, second offering was 15,000, and the children's service, we had 4,000. We had 2,000 in tithes, and then 10,000. They tell you, they give you the breakdown. In our type of churches, we don't tell you how much money has come. So what does it mean? We are scampish. We are shady. We are not open. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean?
Oh, we take three offerings, four offerings, 20 offerings, tithe, this, that, envelopes, this. I mean, we don't say anything. So what does it mean? What does it mean? What goes on in your mind? It's very important. If you cannot put the element of money on one side and put God on a better side, you cannot do the lame. You can't even be a good Christian. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what many of us in the church are doing. We have held on to money and we are despising God in the church. Because I tell you, if the money element comes in, people will change. I tell you, who doesn't like money? But that's what the scripture says. The scripture says that you will either hold on to the other one and despise the other. Now, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the name for money. Where's little Doris? Ulex. Ulex was telling me something about her life. She said she has a job. They are trying to put her to work Sundays and overtime and things like that, isn't it? And then she says, she was asking me what to do. I said, what do you want to do? She says, she doesn't want to work on Sundays. And so if they don't agree to give her Sundays off, she's leaving the job. I said, are you sure you want to leave? He said, yes. I said, is that your conviction? She said, yes. Okay, then follow your conviction. So she went and he told her she stopped the work. They have begged her to come back and to give her Sundays. Yeah.
No, you see, and I told, when she told me about it, I said, you see, we don't know the God we serve.
We despise him rather. We hold on to the job and the money, and we despise God. Once we despise God, we will never see how great he is. We will never see how great he is. And now people wonder, who is you? you getting Sunday off? Who is me? I is the child of the king. The king needs me on Sundays, and the king says I should come. You can't say I can't go. Archbishop Idahosa, if you know Archbishop Idahosa, of blessed memory, he's a man of God from Nigeria. He raised 8 people from the dead. He was the one who saw the scripture going into the world and preach the gospel. And anybody who believes, baptize them. He said, in my name, these signs shall follow you. You shall cast out devils, you shall heal the sick, and you shall raise the dead. When he saw that scripture for the first time, he asked his pastor, is this verse true? The pastor said, it's true. He said, are you sure? He said, yes, Jesus is the one who said it, so it is true. The man went around his village looking for a dead body to try the scripture. If the Bible says that in the name of Jesus, I'll raise the dead, that I want to prove this thing. He went from morning to evening in his village looking for somebody who was dead. He found a 3-year-old baby who was dead. He raised the 3-year-old from the dead. He raised 8 people from the dead in his ministry. He said, if the Bible has said so, then it can't be so. I see, to us, when the Bible says so, it can be so. Because there are other currents at work. Other things in on the scene. This man of God, I was listening to him the other day. He was sharing his testimony to some diplomatic, people. He said it came to a point in his life in Nigeria, in his ministry. He wanted to leave Nigeria because they were poor. He said church was working, things were going well, but they were poor. So himself and his wife decided to just go and visit their spiritual parents, T.L. Osborne, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they went there. He said that when they had nice fellowship, they were there. And then T.L. Osborne told him that the Lord has asked him to be a blessing to him. So he said one of the temptations he will allow to fall in is when you tell him that the Lord has spoken to you to bless him. It's a temptation he will fall inside because he likes the blessings from the Lord. So he said T.L. Osborne and his wife took them in a Rolls Royce. And he took him around Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said he told him they were taking them to 3 areas. The well-to-do area, the wealthy area, and the wealthiest area. And any house they see that is for sale there, they want to buy it for them. It's a temptation, he said, yeah, he wants to fall into it. The Bible said, lead us not into temptation. He said, this temptation, I want to be led into it. Now, you are suffering in ministry in Nigeria. He said he could not understand why he would take $2,000 or $200 to gather 20,000 people. And Americans who use $20,000 to gather 200 people. They said so they got to the well-to-do area. They saw a house. Big house. And they entered. He said 4 bedrooms. Double living room. He looked at his wife. And he said, we will take this house. And then T.L. said, okay. Let's go to the wealthy area. And then once we do the 3 areas, then, he said, okay. I said, no, we like this one. He said, they went to the second house. They entered the house. Big! When they opened the back door, swimming pool, he said, no, we will take this one rather. Then they went to the third. He said, the third was too much. He said, we are taking this one. He says, when they went to sleep, then the Lord spoke to him. He said, the Lord said, what is he doing here? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing here? He said, the Lord said, what are you doing here? He said, the Lord said, if you don't go back to Nigeria, I will kill you. He said he started praying and binding devils. Satan, I bind you. But blessings are coming. You are to appear yourself to him in the night that he should go back to Nigeria and that if not, you will kill him. He said he spoke in tongues. He said the voice will not go. So he said he woke his wife up and told the wife, God says we should go back, otherwise we will die. He said, let me talk to God myself. He says your mind is too much on this thing that too. So he said, no, I will talk to God myself. You are not hearing well. Give me the phone, I'll speak to God. So Idahosa said in the morning he packed his bags, called a taxi. He said, please take me to the airport. He said, when he got to the airport, he called his wife. He said, honey, you ain't dead yet? I mean, he has said this voice and he knows deep within him that this is the voice of God. Except that, you see, your mind is on something else. So you try to fight it. He said he left back to Nigeria, called the wife again to see whether she was still alive or dead. The wife was alive. She said, finally they arranged and the wife came back. She said, God told him that if you forget about the things that you have seen and take me, I will bless you. He said, don't look at those things, look at me. He said, as he was speaking, he said, the house that we live in, he said, you doubt whether any president anywhere has a house like that. In Nigeria. Yeah. Many, many years ago. He said, the house that now myself and my wife will live in. He said, he doubts which president has a house like that. It's true. I heard him preach some time ago in London. He was insulting them. He says, your whole house is my toilet. Oh, I mean, he was, the guy became so powerful. When he sees the white people, he doesn't respect them, you know. No. He said, you live in an apartment and you talk. He said, how can you have a big God and live in a small house like that? Benson Idahosa. When you listen to him, you feel stupid. You feel like you are not a Christian at all. In fact, you are an unbeliever, clear unbeliever. He went looking for dead people to pray for them and he found that he prayed for them and they came back to life. One of his testimonies, I hear this guy fell from a high building, fell and his skull cracked into eight pieces or so. And they called him. I hear when he came, he held the skulls together. But nurses, he began to speak in tongues. The skull came back without any mark anywhere. I tell you. He's the one who came to consecrate Bishop Ejil as a bishop. Archbishop Idahosa from Nigeria. Those days. You were there, right, Pastor Cromwell?
Yeah.
Even though people don't look at him like him at all. He said, God says, if you take me and leave those things, I will bless you.
You can't serve God and money. We have to put money at the place where it is at. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible speaks more negatively about money than anything else. When the subject of money comes in the Bible, it's always negative. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Let's read some scriptures.
Oh, you don't want to read scriptures? Yeah, let's read scriptures. Let's read scriptures. So if we take money as a major thing, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. What does it say? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after. When you say coveted after, it means their desires and their that became strong. They went looking for it. Which, while many coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you are here and you'll be honest with yourself, you will see that as you have followed money, you now, your life is miserable. That is why one of the greatest tests for us pastors in Lighthouse Chapel is that when you tell Bishop you feel like God is calling you into full-time ministry, all that Bishop will say, especially if you live in these fancy places, he says, no problem. He will take you from the fancy place and throw you in a poor village. Yeah. And he'll give you only $100 as your salary. Ah, but you said God has called you. He who has called you. The Bible says he's also faithful. Oh? And so all we can do for you is just give you a little stipend. Let the one who has called you be faithful to you. Yeah. I remember I met a Guyanese when we were coming to Guyana. He said one of the things he advised is that if I'm coming here to do mission work, the people who are sending me should really have money for me. They should really take care of me financially. Yeah. And we have tried it in so many places. I will not even use myself. There's one of our young pastors in a country called Botswana, where Guyanese teachers used to go a lot in the olden days. There are still some living there. But our pastor there, Patrick, is a medical doctor. He was being sent to Brazil. His wife was pregnant. Bishop called him and he said he has sold everything. They were going to Brazil as missionaries. And Bishop said, no, don't go again. Go to Botswana. And those things happen a lot. He went to Botswana. The church wasn't working. Now, today, he has over 1,500 people in the church. A young doctor. He is so important in the country. He flies everywhere to work. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. So it's like his work is in the interior, for example, and he lives in Georgetown. So if there's any medical problem, they fly a plane to Georgetown, come and pick him up alone and one or two nurses in the plane, takes him to the place to work. And they give him so much money. Meanwhile, there was some young, simple pastor in Ghana who sold everything he had. He said he wanted to be a missionary. When he was going to Botswana, he said he didn't. He said, whenever Bishop sends us to places, so many people think that he doesn't like us. Up to today, people are asking. My wife was telling me the other day when she was abroad. The husband of a friend was saying, so when are you people going to leave Guyana? And this guy is a medical doctor, but you have met an ignorant person. He said, oh. But Bishop Dax should send you to some other rich places so that you can. If you have God and you cannot flourish in a poor environment, then you don't have God. Should I say it again? If you have the God who created the universe, and then you go to a place where there's no life, there must be life there. I tell you, if you have that God and you go to a place and there's no flourishing, it means you don't have the God we are talking about. When I came here for all these 11 years, I'm still a pauper. I'm still walking on the road. My children don't have anything to do and to eat. Then you would have told me that the God I'm preaching is not a real God. But 11 years, I can tell you, God has been good to me. That's been good to me. I didn't know where I was going. Raphael, the other day I realized that we are like Abraham, you know. You should be good. You should feel good. Because Abraham was called to go to a place he did not know. You have to look on the map to find. I didn't know where Guyana was. So, I am Abraham's child. Or maybe I should say, me and Abraham, we are classmates. Yeah. When Stephen was preaching, he quoted Abraham. He said, when God called Abraham to a place where he didn't know, I came to a place I didn't know. with my wife and two little girls. Ah! Now we have a church building here. We have a church building there. We have 5 acres of land here. Well, you tell me if there's no God. And this is the God we are introducing you to. That if you put money in its place, this God is almighty. He alone is more than enough. He will bless you. Anytime people say, I got to walk. I realize I've met a baby. I've met somebody who is ignorant. Yeah. If the God we serve is a powerful God, then he should prove himself. We will go. He should prove himself. The love of money is something that every Christian must put aside. That was what affected Sapphira and Ananias. Acts chapter 5. They sold their property and they kept back some. What happened to them? What happened to them? They died because the love of money, they were so connected. Others came, others sold their things. The Bible says they came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and Sapphira, who were not respecting the principle of putting mammon somewhere else, received the recompense of their reward. That's what happened to Judas. God himself. Judas sold God himself. Why? Because of his attitude towards money. So if you don't have volunteers, if you don't have lay pastors in the church, then everything will become money. But money has to be put in his place. The money, when Jesus discovered that people were selling and buying in the church, please, if you know your Bible, tell me what he did. I went to a program some time ago. And then, you know what they were doing? There were some Christian businessmen who were gathering pastors and churches to introduce a business concept to them. And they were saying that, you know what, when you take up this business as a pastor, you know, your church members will benefit. That was the last time I allowed myself to be invited to a place like that. One day, a pastor, a very prominent pastor around, called me. He wanted to meet me. He came to my office. He came to promote the idea of selling coffee. I didn't know. He said, did you know, Pastor Collins, that after oil, the next highest exchange market commodity is coffee? I said, I didn't know. He had some coffee business he's coming to promote to me. And because you see, the thing is that if you get on board, and you know this, their marketing and their sales system, and if you're able to get people also to come on board, then you go higher. So it's like me, I have how many people in my church, branches and all of that. If I take it up first, and I'm able to convince half of the church to join the business, I'll be so filthy rich from coffee. I told him, I'll get back to him up to today. I mean, I didn't want to be disrespectful in my office with him. But I could not believe that a man of God who says he is called by God is not coming to promote to me about some program, some something, but to sell coffee. If I want to sell coffee, I would have stayed in Europe. There they drink coffee more than Guyanese. It's cold. Yeah, it's hot. We need some cold cokes, and some iCool to cool we self. And what? Bush tea. Not coffee. One lady left our church. You know why she left the church? She said, in Lighthouse, they don't help you. They don't help you do any business. The people don't. We are not a business. We are not iPad. Why should we? If we are iPad, we should write here IPED. We are not iPad. We are a church. And a church, the only commodity that is enlightened, that is magnified, is Jesus, is the cross, is the gospel, is the preaching. That is the only thing that is magnified. Everything else just comes together to just help whatever we are doing. But the main thing is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. So I can't expect you to come around and then you will not do certain things and not work for God because you are not gaining anything from it. You'd be very ignorant to think that you are not gaining. You are rather losing if you are out there working. If we take the lay ministry out, if we take volunteers out of the church, we will always have money as a problem. Money will always become a problem in the church. Because as you are coming to do rehearsals, after church, you have to wait a few minutes to do rehearsals. I've told you, if you don't sweat at rehearsals, you are not working. What kind of rehearsals is that you don't sweat? And then you say, use a chorister. Use no chorister. How many times do you sweat? You don't even want to sweat. Why are you afraid to sweat? You got some body odor you don't want anybody to smell? If you are working, you must sweat. You look at how I'm sweating. You think I could also come here with a batty rider and then a vest. Or I can't wear batty rider. Who said I can't? Hey, Devian. I can't wear batty rider? Okay, Bok Tok. Okay, I could. Prince says no. All right. I won't say it again. Protocol doesn't allow it. I'm preaching, I'm sweating. I'm preaching, I'm sweating. I preach and I talk and I counsel all kinds of things. 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Hey. Now, you want to join us? You want money for what you're doing? We cannot deal with money. Jesus said, give me the coin. He said, whose head is on it? He said, hey, Caesar? I said, okay. Hey, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And give unto God what is God's. We have to separate the two things. Don't let money become an issue to your service to God, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever let money come between you and God. That is why in this church, we don't entertain people bringing shoes and things and wigs to sell in the church. You have your shop in town, let the people come and buy your things in your shop. If I hear or see you selling anything in the church, I will drive you out of the church. We are not, if we have to do business, don't you think I'll be the biggest businessman? Because you can't say, if you look at my programs, you don't even want to come to the program. You look at you, if we're doing business, if the program was to give me money, the program we are doing, even the money, the 3,000 for a couple and 2,000 for a single person, is for the book Modern Marriage. Modern Marriage is $7,000. Modern Marriage is retailed at $7,000. So the $3,000 we are taking for a couple is just almost more than less. So when you see $3,000 on a ticket, and we even want to do snacks and drinks and all of that. I'm wondering where we're going to get money to do all of that. When the book already is being sold for less than 50% of the cost. It's just a ministry. We want people to get knowledge. We want people to be exposed to the wisdom in the book on marriage. That's what we want to do. And you won't help us do the program. You won't help support the program. You should have even brought money and said, Reverend, take this money and even when I preach at these conferences, I was telling them the other day, I said, you should pay me when I preach at these conferences. It's not part of my job. My job is Sunday, Tuesday. If I'm doing conference, you must pay me. If I was invited somewhere to come and preach, they will pay me. They'll pay me. When you went, you were paid. Yeah. I should sit down here. And when I preach, you even are annoying that I'm preaching. You're even annoying that, what was he saying at the marriage conference? I don't agree with him. If you had paid me and you say you don't agree, I don't care. Because I've chopped your money already. I've gone to some restaurant, going to eat. spread. We eat prawns and eat chicken and all the dogs they put in the food. You eat all of them. Yeah. You can go home and insult me. I have your money. That's why some pastors will say, if you are coming to see me, you bring an offering. Because for many of Christians, even when you tell them something, they're minding you. You waste your time on them. They don't listen to what you tell them. So to waste my time, you pay me. I don't feel bad at all. Because I took your 10,000. If you don't want it, go. Because the advice is free. Many people don't respect the advice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I was to say, you are the same people who go out and say, what? Hmm? Lighthouse? Why? Me know what's going on? If you want to see the pastor, you got to pay 5,000. You know when this thing, you know what this thing. You have not a pastor, that's why. You have never been a pastor before, that's why. The ones that are free, you don't respect it. You don't want to help us do the marriage conference, it's up to you. Because you don't even understand what is behind all of that. Book for $7,000. We are selling for $7,000. We're selling for $3,000 for two people. Anita. And I'm going to preach Friday evening. I'm preaching Saturday morning. We're taking a break at lunch. Give drinks and snacks. And continue after lunch. And not, it's not Lighthouse Chapel. Oh. Yeah. Sorry. You go to and I should what? Or I should get his drink? You don't respect my gift. Go look at these Clintons when they go and they give a speech somewhere. You know how much money Jack Dew and all these people, when they go and speak, do you know how much money they give them? And me, I should be here and be poor, isn't it? I should be poor. God should just only pay me my salary. So bye, you get your salary. Quiet. You can get nothing no more. Marriage conference should give me about 200,000. Yeah. It's anointing. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to lay my hands. Hey! If you like, I will do marriage ceremony on that day. I should be paid for that. But we don't emphasize on all of those things. And that's why people don't respect some of the things we do. Because we are trying to put money in its right place. The money should not interfere with the things of God. There's a guy called Simon. He got saved in the days of the apostles. He was a sorcerer. He was a magician. He was cheating the people, reading their palms and everything and telling them things. When he got saved and he started to follow, is it Philip the evangelist or somebody like that? And then the apostles came from Jerusalem and they came to Samaria because they had received Christ. They came and they prayed for them and they received the Holy Ghost baptism. When Simon saw it, he said, what? This is more than what I have ever done before. He offered the apostles. He said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Go to where he offered the people money. If you brought it up, then let's read it. Peter said, when he told Peter, he said, please take this money and let me also have that thing that you have. The magic that you can make people say, oh, blah, 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 blah. I want that thing. I want that. This is 500,000 Guyanese dollars. Peter said, thy money perish with thee. You should die with your money now. Why? Because you are thinking that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You are limiting and lowering the gift of God to money. That when it comes to God, his workings and his things, it has nothing to do with money. That is why, even if you personally, you don't do it. And it's okay if you don't do it. It's not a problem at all. Even if you were the one who was going to give me money all the time, you are going to give me envelopes all the time, when you do something wrong, I'll say it. I will not be afraid that you give me envelopes. So the envelope is supposed to keep my mouth shut. It's demons who keep people's mouth shut. You don't do it. You don't give me envelopes. It's hard for a church member without birthday or anything come and say, oh, Reverend, this is for you. I don't get that at all.
But even if you were to do that, and you're wrong. Not so? Others are not so? If you're wrong, Jomel. I said, man, it's just for Jomel. If you say it, she will stop. Her tithe is too big. She will stop coming. Please don't say anything. We need a tithe. The tithe is God. It's God who built this church. That's as much as possible. I don't want to submit and subject myself to anybody to give me anything. For you to think that is you make me. Look at how his cheeks has become puffy. It's my cook up I send here every Sunday. Take your cook up. I don't want your cook up. I'll eat cook down and be okay. Yeah. It's true. Even all those all my churchmen who travel, hardly do you come and bring me chocolate. Say, Reverend, Prince went to Jamaica. At least bring me something for. Say, Rev, this is Jamaican chocolate for you. Yeah. Don't bring it. Yeah, what a prince. I have church members who travel all the time. I smile when they come back. There's nothing like a candy. Oh, Reverend, this is a candy for you. The people don't respect us. Uh-huh. That is why the pastors will say, if you want to come and see me, bring 10,000. Because the prayers and the laying on of hands, we've been laying our hands on you. You've been receiving the power. You've been falling. And things are working for you. And you forget where all those things are coming from. You don't have an understanding how things work. That's why. Yeah. Prince will be surprised that it is because of Lighthouse. That's why he's even going to Jamaica. He'll be surprised that that's why. But you see, you can't connect it to even appreciate God's gift. No, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. If only God was to open your eyes. If only God was to open your eyes, you will see that this thing I have is because of this connection. This thing I have is because of that connection. This thing I have is because of what God made my pastor like that. But you see, we don't even realize that. I didn't even realize that. Those of you who have married in this church, if it wasn't this church, you wouldn't have been married by now. On your wedding anniversary, it's you and your wife who go to enjoy forgetting the person who prayed over your marriage. We will never think about that. Yeah, no, we don't think about that. You don't think about that. Yeah. Moving about all the place. Do you know it's your pastor's prayers that keeps you? You don't even cherish that. Don't cherish that. The gift of God cannot be equated with money. He said you should perish because you think that the gift of God may be purchased with money. No. You cannot pay it with money. I'm preaching a very, very nice message. Yeah. One day we were in canal and then a big man across the road came. The big 2-liter a bottle of Cokes. He said, my name is Steve. This is something to offer you. Welcome to this area. If you need anything, let me know. I said, what? It's a nice place to live. Indian man. Not a black man. Not your own color. Not your own race. Which doesn't do anything for you. 2-liter bottle of Cokes. Now, who calls her? Ladies and gentlemen, money, our respect for money has not even helped us to do some of these things. You look at your money and you can't see the gift that God has given you that is more than the money you have. So that the money must go faster. He said, no. I can't compare my blessings and how I have become. I can't compare it to this. That's skin. There's nothing you can compare to. The blessings you are receiving. You should tell me, you said, Reverend, never buy gas. Anytime you're buying gas, this is check for you. That's what you should do. That's what you should do. After 11 years, you can't understand these things here. Then I don't know where you're heading as a Christian. Look at, if it wasn't us, your daughter. Anita, people don't understand though. Do you talk to her?
Yes, Rev.
How do you feel?
Good.
So where's my blessing? It's only good you feeling. All right. Me too, I feel good. Okay, we feel good. Yeah. But you see, it cannot be connected. It's because it's like the money and the gift of God, we are trying to make it the same. No. You have to say, hey. So what would have happened to me if Bishop had not sent Reverend? And because Bishop is not here, let me give the blessing to Reverend. When Reverend eat it, Bishop has eaten it. Can we identify it like that? No. We rather abuse the pastor. We rather fight with the pastor. I was telling a little girl, I said, you are too little to have problems with me. I said, you should never dream of you and the pastor got problem. It should never cross your small brain. I see, it crosses and they pick it up because the gift of God and money, there's no difference. Money is more important than the pastor. Money is important than the gift and the prayers. You know what Sister Esther told me the night when we had a cell leaders and people, what prayer meeting we had here the last time? What was it, that meeting? Was last Friday? Or was Sunday night? It was Sunday night, you're telling me. It was Sunday night communion service. She sent me a message. She said, Reverend, did you know that the church was filled to the road? And that the president came to for me to pray for him? That's the message she sent me. Sunday night. I said, wow. I'm waiting for it to happen. She said that this place was filled to the road. I don't know what type of church it was, but it was this one. She said the president came for me to, he said, the word he used was that, he said, he's coming for his covering. Money and the gift of God. Money and the gift of God. There is nothing in this country that any president or politician can ask me to do that I will do. I'm already occupied. I'm too busy for my king. Yeah, I'm not them. No. I'm teaching you something. That in your life also, put money to his place. You must look at money and say, money, hey, hello. You have come too much. You are too many on me. It's too much on me. Go. So I'll be quiet. You realize that when you get a lot of money, when you buy a new dress or a new shoe, you see how good you feel? How good you feel? But when you don't have money, you are quiet. It's like the whole world is coming down. It's like Satan is living in your backyard or something. But at least it keeps you quiet. It keeps you humble. When the money comes, why are you talking to me like that? You know who is me? I'm sure my time is up for a long time. Please stand to your feet. Yeah. The gift of God cannot be compared to money. Chorus says, we should have uniforms. I mean, you must have one of your big bags in your house must be filled with uniforms. We can't compare the privilege to stand and sing to using money to buy a uniform. We can't compare it. We cannot. Money cannot be a problem when it comes to putting something on to come on stage to sing to the glory of God. It cannot be money. It cannot be money. Money cannot be the issue. Look at the money. Look who is on the money. Jesus said, give the money to who? Tribute. Give it unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And give unto God what is God. There are so many stories. One of my pastor friends who is in Haiti now,
He was in the States. He moved to Ghana. Bishop sent him back to the States. And he's moved to Haiti. By the grace of God, he was spared during the when Matthew passed through. We pray Mark don't rise up, and Luke and John, nobody should come again. But when he was moving to Ghana the first time, and it has happened in our church several times, his wife got promotion to one of the highest jobs in the airline industry in his city. He told his wife, he said, girl, we're going to Ghana. Pastor Kofi here, right here in Trinidad and Tobago, when he was moving to Antigua, when he went, then his wife, Lady Pastor Sandra, who was teaching in one of the tertiary institutions in Trinidad, as a member of staff of the science department, was given a promotion to become the head of department at the moment when she was supposed to pack and go and join her husband. The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. It's like Satan is saying, Mana, forget it, nah. Money, nah. Money, nah. The same thing. He told Jesus, if you will bow down, many of us are bowing down for the things that Satan will give you. Because we don't know that the gift of God, salvation, is far precious than money. You can't die for yourself. If you try and die for yourself and let's see. Eh? Die for yourself and wash your own sins away with your blood. It has happened so many times. But in all the cases, God shows himself strong. Are you going to volunteer? Are we going to become lay people and real people who will really do God's work and don't expect thank you. Don't expect any money. Don't expect anything. Whether you are not, I mean, you have to give your all, because the God we are serving, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I tell you, if you diligently seek the Lord, he's going to bless you. Thank you, Lord.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.